I like to say that the big secret behind disruption is not having any idea how it's supposed to be done. I had no idea how it was supposed to be done. And if you have no idea how something's supposed to be done, I guarantee you, you will end up being disruptive.
That is the unmistakable voice of Spanx founder, Sarah Blakely, and she'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast. Thank you for joining us here today for our Super You podcast. It's going to be our best year ever. We've got amazing guests and amazing tips lined up for you so you can have your best year ever in 2021. For our regular listeners and those join us for the first time today, you all know this podcast is designed to unlock and unleash the superpower within all of us. Sometimes I'll be sitting down and interviewing special guests. Other times I'll be giving you some information that I think is relevant that I've come across in my travels, trials, and tribulations. And other times we're going to grab 7 super tips from some of the top thought leaders out there in the space today. And that's what we're going to do today with Spanx founder Sarah Blakely. My hope is this podcast helps you get focused on what matters most in 2021. And those that need a little additional help, I've got my new book out, The Focus Project. Thank you for making it a #1 new release on Amazon, but it's a great time to start your own focus project right here as we kick off this new year. So again, it's the not so simple art of doing less better, how to focus in this unfocused world. So enough about my book. Let's get into 7 super tips from Spanx founder, Sarah Blakely.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.
I visualized this for myself. When I was selling copiers door to door, I had a very clear vision of what my life was gonna be like. And I encourage everyone to do it. Take a snap photo of what success looks like for you. How many employees do you have? How much are you making? Where do you live? Are you sitting at a table with world leaders? Are you standing on a stage in New York City giving a speech? And hold on to that snapshot, and you will subconsciously start to make decisions that get you there. And so my snap photo for myself when I was going door to door to sell copiers was to be self-employed, invent a product that I could sell to lots of people and not just one copier to each person, and create a business for myself that would continue to fund itself if I wasn't present. I wanted money to be generated without me having to be there. I was that specific in my vision.
This is a tremendous tip to start off the new year, and it's a great exercise to do. She says, take a snapshot, be specific as possible in your vision. Other people might call these mind maps. They might call them vision boards. I'm actually doing this right now because we're kicking off the new year, just writing down what's at the center of my universe. What's going to be a successful year? What does that look like? So I make sure that my focus always goes back to that. For me personally, just I'll share it with you because it's a good example. I am focused on big. Am I going to look back 5 years from now and go, that was something big, rather than getting caught in the day-to-day busy? So my thing is it big? And throughout the day, ask myself, what am I doing? And is it the big thing that I should be working on? And so wherever you might be, just write that down. Whatever that vision might be, snapshot, as Sarah talks about. But it's a great time to do that as we kick off this new year. So here's Sarah Blakely with tip number 2.
Well, growing up, my dad used to encourage my brother and me to fail. So at the dinner table, he would actually ask us, what did you fail at this week? And if we didn't have something to tell him, he would actually be disappointed. And I can remember coming home from school and be like, Dad, I tried out for this and I was horrible. And he'd be like, way to go, and high-five me. It was such a gift what he was doing. I didn't realize it at the time, but he was redefining failure for me. And so failure became not about the outcome, but about not trying. And so, you know, the fear of failure, as we all know as entrepreneurs, is one of the greatest fears in life. It's one of the things that stops us in our tracks and keeps us from trying something. And so I incorporate that in my philosophy at Spanx. We celebrate failures, we talk about them, we have oops meetings where I'll announce the oops that I have, and sometimes we have fun with it. We'll even attach
theme songs to our oops, and we'll play them in front of the whole company. But I think it's just so important to try to get the people that you work with to take risks and to be entrepreneurial and not live in a place of, I want to protect my job and feel like I'm not safe if I make mistakes. That's tough. And one of the things I also do is I like to go up to people at Spanx and I say, I'm always trying to get people off autopilot. Like, if you think about it, everything we do, almost everything we do in life is autopilot. We're doing things exactly the way someone else showed us how to do it or taught us how to do it. Well, if you're doing things exactly the way everyone else is, there's not going to be any real significant change. There's not going to be a really meaningful potential breakthrough. So I always go up to people at Spanx and say, if nobody showed you how to do your job, how would you be doing it?
Celebrating your oops moments is very similar to Tony Hsieh celebrating some mistakes and posting them in the lobby at Zappos. If you haven't checked out our podcast on Tony Hsieh, he is the recently, unfortunately, deceased founder of Zappos at the young age of 46 years old. Such a tragedy, but it's one of our most popular episodes. So go and listen to the Tony Hsieh 7 Super Tips episode because it has a lot of parallels to what Sarah just talked about here. Here's Sarah with tip number 3.
Well, I stay focused and motivated. I stay focused by, I track my priorities daily and quarterly and annually, but I stay motivated because I'm connected to a purpose bigger than myself. And I believe that the entrepreneurial journey is hard. I mean, it is one thing people don't talk about is how hard you work. I mean, in many cases, I tell people it's really who wanted to work the hardest and who had the most staying power and grit to just keep going. Because there is a huge element of this that is that. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day. I'm like, I didn't take a vacation for like 10 years. I mean, I was just working when all my friends were going on vacations and people were going out to parties. I just wasn't. So it was just a lot of commitment on that end. But why I was willing to do that and why I still stay motivated is because for me, I've been doing this for something greater than myself. I'm very passionate about women and helping women and supporting women. I believe I'm very lucky to be a woman born in the right place at the right time. And so I feel this deep gratitude and I almost feel that gratitude daily throughout the day. And it fuels me to keep going. So it reminds me, you know, that when I'm doing something for Spanx, whether it was cold calling Neiman Marcus to get in my foot in the door or, you know, try to land a big account or go in front of a bunch of customers or give a speech, all those things scared me, but I stayed motivated because I felt like I was walking through the door on behalf of women and behalf of women that came before me that didn't have this opportunity and on behalf of women still around the world right now who don't have the opportunity that I have just because they're a woman. And so I suggest, and I talk about this in my masterclass, like, what is your purpose? Your purpose is going to get you through this. And your purpose needs to be bigger than I just want money. And I just want to be successful so I can like buy things. That's great. That does happen if you are really successful. But if that's the main motivation, it's a lot harder to have that really deep staying power and motivation. So, your purpose is kind of the intersection between, you know, what do you like to do? What brings you joy? Like, what are you good at? What brings you joy? And how can you best serve the world? And a lot of times I talk about, if someone's like, I don't know what I'm passionate about, I talk about, well, what makes you cry? You know, what really affects you? And whatever that is, pay attention to that because your purpose probably lies within that or around there. And for me, seeing women not be able to fulfill their own potential is really deeply affects me.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there, but there's a lot of golden gems in there. There's three things really that's in there. She's saying, one, you've got to have that focus. So it's how to focus in this unfocused world. And we've discovered that most people that are very successful are better at focusing than others. And it's not something inherently they're born with. It's just they're able to make it into a habit. The focus is really, really hard, but it can become a habit. The second thing she talks about is grit. And so you got to have that staying power, that grit. And the only way you can have that is by following a passion. And so it's really about your why, something bigger than actually just the revenue itself, but the why. So it all comes down to focus, grit, and also passion / your why. And like most successful people we've had on the show, Sarah's not an overnight success. You know, she's now, you know her as the founder and owner of shapewear brand Spanx, which sells undergarments, leggings, swimwear, and maternity wear in over 50 countries. But she was a one-time door-to-door, once she was a one-time door-to-door fax machine salesperson. And she made the makeshift undergarment using pantyhose to wear under her white slacks. And she initially tried this new invention herself, which then became the shapewear brand Spanx. And she tested on sales floor at various Neiman Marcus stores, and it finally took off after that 10 years of hard work that she alluded to. And even today, there's no room to rest. She has to get back to that grit because the coronavirus pandemic has absolutely decimated the live events and galas industry, which has led to a drop in demand for shapewear. Because you think about it, if you're not leaving your house, you don't have to impress people, you don't have to look nice. We're kind of being our best sloppy versions of ourselves at home. There's a lot of businesses that suffer, from dry cleaning to business suits to Spanx, the undergarments that you'd wear to look nice as you walked on stage, or even if you're walking into a boardroom or a business meeting, or you're just out and about, just being outside of your house. You're going to want to put on makeup. You're actually going to want to shave. You're going to actually, quote unquote, shower. So she's facing an uphill battle, just like a lot of us during this pandemic. So she's getting back to that focus, that grit, and then also getting back to that passion or that why. Without further ado, here's Sarah Blakely with tip number 4.
I like to say that the big secret behind disruption is not having any idea how it's supposed to be done. I had no idea how it was supposed to be done. And if you have no idea how something's supposed to be done, I guarantee you, you will end up being disruptive. But the key is you have to let it, you know, you have to embrace not knowing. A lot of times when we don't know something, especially, you know, most people in society, we end up being afraid of what we don't know, or we take that as a negative. It can hold us back. Whereas if you let what you don't know become your greatest asset, you are bound to do things very differently. Because we're all mostly on autopilot in life, and if you think about it, we're doing things exactly the way somebody else showed us how to do it. Everything that we're doing is because someone else showed us how to do it. So I like to do this mental exercise, and I tell people at Spanx to do it too. I say, close your eyes and pretend like you have no idea how to do your job. Just sit in that space for a minute. What comes up? If no one has shown you how to do your job, how would you be doing it? And listening to the answers. But it takes asking those questions, asking why, and spending that time in that space to say, is there a better way? Why has a bra always been made this way? Or why is it this way? And so for me, my not knowing was really a great asset for me.
Not knowing can indeed be a gift. I was laughing, and really this resonated with me a lot because it reminded me of a story. So I was working with a large luxury brand. I was working with a large watch manufacturer. So think fancy watch, $10,000, $20,000 watch. And I'm in the room. I think I'm the only one that doesn't speak French in the room. And I asked them, I go, wait, hold on a second. You don't sell this direct, any of these watches direct to the customer. They have to come into a local storefront or a boutique to buy one of these watches. They're like, that's absolutely correct. And I go, but don't you think that people would want to buy this watch online if it was easy to do? And they kind of laughed and scoffed at me because I didn't know, right? I didn't know. But then I kept pushing the issue. No, you should sell this directly. And then one of the CEOs in the room, because there's several watch manufacturers in the room, the light bulb kind of went off and they started to sell directly online through their website to the customer, these $5,000, these $20,000 watches. And guess what? It prepared them and got them ahead of when the pandemic, when the only place you could buy one of these watches is via online, because retail stores weren't allowed to be open in a lot of these countries. And so not knowing really helped me, because I just sat there. I didn't know the watch industry. I definitely didn't know how to buy a $10,000 or $20,000 watch. But I said, surely people are buying cars online, people are buying houses online, why wouldn't they buy a watch online? And they kind of laughed and scoffed at the idea and murmured some stuff in French that I didn't understand. But then one person in the room, the light bulb went off and they were well ahead, especially when the pandemic hit. So again, sometimes not knowing can actually be a huge benefit because you don't know how hard something is or how ridiculous an idea like selling watches, a $20,000 watch online, might sound to the establishment. Blakely attended Florida State University, where she received a degree in communications. She then planned on becoming an attorney. However, her score for the law school admission test was very low, and she failed to win a place. And so things happen for us, not to us. And so it happened for her. So then she goes on to this wildly successful career, and now she's a minority owner of the NBA team, the Atlanta Hawks. Here's super tip number 5.
I approached it with a very feminine leadership style. And so I think that there's, you know, traditional business has been very masculine, and it's been a very masculine model. And so I approach it, I mean, and when I say that, when I first started Spanx, I was maybe 3 months in, and I was at a cocktail party, and these three guys came up to me and they said, "Sarah, so we heard you invented something." And I said, "Yes, I did." And they said, "Great." And one guy, you know, pat me on the shoulder and he said, "I hope you're ready to go to war." And he said, "Business is war." And I just remember looking at him and thinking, why? And I went home that night and sat in my apartment, and I sat on the floor and I was thinking about all that was happening and, you know, this risk I was taking and potentially leaving my job and the secure income, and just thinking, I don't want to go to war. And this voice inside of my head just said, do it different, like take a totally different approach. And so I have approached Spanx with very feminine principles, and there's the feminine and the masculine in all of us, and it's all super important. But, you know, using vulnerability, really operating off of intuition, if the data is trumping my intuition, I go with my intuition almost every time. So, you know, that's not typical in a corporate environment. So those kinds of things that I've done, like being vulnerable with the business, I felt as a consumer, I just felt like companies aren't really talking to me the way that I want them to talk to me. I know I'm not listening to them, I don't believe them, I don't necessarily trust them. And so when I started Spanx, instead of talking, you know, at my customer, I wanted to talk to them. And I made myself vulnerable. So I joked and said I used my own butt in the before and after picture. But I had felt like companies were operating in this, like, we need to be perfect and you need to see us as the authority and you need me. And that's how I'm going to sell you product. And I was like, hey, like, I'm one of you. Like, here's what's happening. Here's what it does for me. This is why it works. And it was just a very different approach. And I felt like consumers became really connected and really loyal. And probably part of the reason why Spanx as a brand didn't need to advertise for we haven't spent any money on advertising in 16 years because of a lot of it's word of mouth from women sharing with other women.
Here's super tip number 6.
The habits that I have that I would say are really helpful throughout this journey are taking the time to think, which I did talk about, keeping a good cadence with your leaders and your leadership team inside of the organization, staying connected to them in a meaningful way, making sure that you're all sharing the same vision and that they feel supported. Habits like, you know, trying to take a little bit of time to work out has been a really big shift for me. And balancing, you know, trying to balance it. Every day is different. I mean, some days I feel like I'm really balancing it great. And then other days, as you know, I'm crying and saying, Jesse, I can't do this or I can't handle it. And you're always like, honey, you got this. But there's ups and downs like that. So one of the habits that I've had is I have sort of my own board. They don't even really know they're my board, but they're my feel good board. So when I know I'm going kind of in that downward, like feeling overwhelmed, I have two or three people that I are my go-tos that I'll just either call on the phone or make sure I spend time with. And they really help me get through it.
You hear her mention Jesse in that clip. Jesse Itzler is her husband. He's the founder of Marquee Jets. And it's amazing what Sarah's doing because she has four young kids at home. And so me personally, I can speak to it. I've got just two young kids at home. And so especially during this pandemic, it's difficult to run your business along with raising a family as well. And so it can be done, but you got to find that harmony, as I always say. Sarah mentions balance. I like to use the word harmony, but it's really about making sure you find that harmony. And as she alludes to, you don't have it every day. So it's like, move on, go, okay, that wasn't the day I was hoping for, but tomorrow, let's make sure we get back to it. Man, I'm loving this show, and I'm so happy all you joined. I'm bummed that this is tip number 7. It's our last tip. So I'm bummed we've come to the last tip, but here we are with tip number 7.
I was very interested in hiring people that were covered my weaknesses. You know, as you're looking when you're really small and you're like, who's going to be my first hire? Who's going to be my second hire? It's super smart to kind of say, what's my bench strength? What can I cover in the business? And what are the areas that I'm not as good at? And those were my first hire. So my first hire was an operator to kind of handle the inventory, handle the accounts receivable, handle the accounting, set up QuickBooks. and then I didn't have like a sort of sit down strategic plan how to acquire talent. As I was doing every department, because that's what entrepreneurs do in the beginning, I figured where I needed more bench strength. You know, like I was my PR person. I was it. I was calling every newspaper, every magazine. I was trying to get the word out about my product and get people to know about it. And I was also selling it on the road, the face of the brand. I was doing all these other things. And so as I was spending my time, it became clear like, well, I can't really delegate this one, or I can't really hire this one. I need to stay in that lane, but this one maybe I can. And so my second hire was a head of PR, and it was a girl that I went for a walk with to get a bagel, and I gave her a free product, and the entire walk to get the bagel, she said, this is the most amazing product. This is what I wore it with. I tried it on with 15 things in my closet. I haven't worn these things in like 10 years. I felt like I just got new clothes because of your item. I mean, she went on and on, and at the end of the walk, I was like, do you want to be my head of PR? She's like, I don't know anything about PR. I'm like, I don't either. But you just get this list of magazines and radio stations. And now it would be podcasts and influencers. And, you know, it would be Instagram, different people you follow on Instagram, and reach out to them and send them product and call them. And so I did not hire people in the beginning. I did not raise capital to hire what I think the question said, you know, top talent. I didn't put a lot of emphasis on that early on. I hired people that didn't have experience in what I was hiring them for, but I liked them and I thought that they were passionate and hard workers. And it really worked out for me in the early days. So there comes a time though where you know, it's really just a lot of intuition along the way, you know, like I need somebody with really deep experience in this position and I'm willing to invest upfront. The way that I ran my business, I never ran my business to invest in things that were going to pay out down the road. For example, you know, I was like in the moment, how much money do I have to spend right now? That's what I'm going to spend. How much money do I have for the next batch of inventory? That's what I'm going to spend. And I was very small. I operated that for a very long time. And 20 years later, it worked. I've seen a lot of different business models. I've seen a lot of ways people do it. You know, a lot of people start and then they, you know, they got exponentially bigger than I was, plotting along the way that I was. But then, you know, 3 years later, they were out of business, some of them, or they raised so much money that it became a very, you know, different scenario inside of the business with debt and things like that. And I've just kept it that way. So I never got ahead of myself in that.
As Sarah mentions, passion and hard work are a winning combination. I know it'll be a winning combination for you in 2021. I hope you got a lot out of today's 7 super tips. My favorite super tip was number 6, where she says, look, some days you're not going to be crushing it. You're actually going to be crying and saying, I can't do this anymore. So it really gets back to that grit. It gets back to that determination. It gets back to that focus. And it gets back to that why, something that's bigger than yourself, why you are doing something. And again, my passion this year is to play big. I hope you're playing big in 2021. Shut the door on 2020. For a lot of us, it was a rough and challenging year. The beginning of this year will still be challenging, but it's really about having our best year yet and going at it day by day. My hope is that these 7 super tips help you. So thank you for tuning in for today's Super You podcast. We'll be coming to you with more podcasts here again. We've got an amazing lineup for this year. So thank you for making it all possible through your support. Feel free to go on social and list out from this episode which of the 7 tips that Sarah gave us was your favorite. As I said, number 6 was mine. But what's your favorite? Go ahead and tag me. I'm just Equal Man across the board. Again, this is Eric Qualman. My name sounds like a superhero. It's Equal Man. And this whole podcast is designed to unlock and unleash the superpower within all of us. And a special thanks to our sources for today's Super You podcast, Goldman Sachs, Premier TV, Masterclass, Forbes, and the Stanford Graduate School of Business. And so until next time, remember, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You.